Dear ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the earnings call of Nemetschek Group. At our customer's request, this conference will be recorded. As a reminder, all participants will be in a listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. If any participant has difficulties hearing the conference, please press star key followed by zero on your telephone for operator assistance. May I now hand you over to Stefanie Zimmermann, who will lead you through this conference. Please go ahead, madam.
Thank you, operator. Good morning, everybody, and welcome to our conference call regarding the publication of our annual report 2017. We have prepared a short presentation with the most important figures and events of the fiscal year. Besides the figures, we will give you an outlook for 2018 and present our target for 2020. At the moment, we are currently having more than 20 participants in this call. So thank you very much for your interest in Nemetschek. And now let's start with the presentation. I would like to hand over to Patrick Heider, who will lead you through the presentation.
Thank you, Stefanie. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for your interest in the Nemetschek Group. I will present you more details about our great performance 2017, followed by an outlook 2018 and a midterm goal definition 2020. After my presentation, I am happy to answer your questions. Let's start with the key achievement of the Nemetschek Group in the last 4 years, including the excellent performance 2017. Some weeks ago, we took the position being second biggest listed software company in Germany. Our 4 years total shareholder return rate is impressive. We significantly outperformed our peer group with a rate higher than 500%. This development was, among others, driven by an excellent performance in revenue and EBITDA growth, with a CAGR of more than 20% in the last 4 years. We continue to keep our promises by delivering our 2017 guidance with a strong revenue growth of 17.3% and exceeded the guidance for EBITDA with 108 million euro. In the last years, we became a truly global player with an impressive 5 years growth CAGR in the world's largest, most competitive AEC market, the US, with a CAGR of 45%. While turning the business in a real growth story and performing significant growth investments, we delivered permanently reliable, great returns. Our EBITDA margin corridor remains between 25 and 27%. Turning on page 3, you can see our great industry achievements, which leads us to become second biggest global player in AEC. With our unique business setup, we foster innovations and deliver best-in-class solutions to our customers. Hereby, we set industry standards for design, structural engineering, construction, and building operations workflows. This is what makes us the most customer-focused AEC company, which is reflected in an increase of more than 300,000 new users in 2017. We understand and respect our customer needs and stand for a flexible distribution approach with subscription offering as an additional choice to the perpetual license model. The outcome of this philosophy is very successful. We are the strongest growing AEC company with a 5 years CAGR of 17.7% compared to an AEC market growth of 11%. That means we are closing the gap to become number one in AEC. Let's turn into some details of our great 2017 performance. On page 5, you can see that performance reflected in our top key figures. Revenue growth 2017 was on high 17.3%, currency adjusted on 18.6%. Our organic growth rate was on 13.6%, currency adjusted on 15%. Our currency-adjusted recurring revenue growth was on strong 26.7%. License growth was on high 12.3%. Our EBITDA grew overproportional by 22.7% to 108 million euro and a margin of 27.3%. Furthermore, no activation of R&D costs. Our EPS increased significantly by 59.1% to 1.94 euro. Without the special effects earnout Solibri and the US tax effect and release of deferred tax provisions, the adjusted EPS was increased by high 33% to 1.62 euro. On the next page, you see our outstanding success in the US. The US is now our largest single market in the group with a revenue share of 30%. We increased our revenues in the biggest and most competitive AEC market worldwide by a CAGR of 45% in the last 4-5 years. Our key achievement here is that Nemetschek became a truly global player, acting successfully worldwide, and we are significantly higher diversified for economic risks. Same time, we are keeping our German roots in respect to our entrepreneurial leadership within the group. On page 7, you can see our segment overview. The design segment remained in strong growth mode by a currency-adjusted growth of 13.8% to 250 million euro, with a high margin of 28.2%. The build segment remained our key growth driver with a growth of 33.1% and a significant improved margin of 23.2%. The managed segment showed good growth of 13.8% with a slight margin improvement. The media and entertainment segment showed solid growth by 11% on a high margin level of 38.8%. Besides our excellent performance in revenue and profitability, our financial status remains very healthy and strong. We continue delivering a cash conversion rate with 90%. Operating cash flow grew in line with EBITDA development. Cash flow from investing and financing activities are mainly driven by acquisitions, dividend payment, and amortizations of bank loans. The result is reflected in a very strong equity ratio of 50%, which gives us enough leeway to invest further into growth and efficiency investments of our organic portfolio and continue to drive ongoing M&A activities. Our M&A focus remains in the areas of structural engineering, building management, and complementary market shares. Given our financial status, our purchase price power remains high with around 300 million euros. Now let's move to our outlook 2018 and our midterm goal 2020. Our outlook 2018 shows that we are committed to continue our great entrepreneurial performance, growing double-digit in revenues, delivering a great profitability while investing heavily into our future success. Our outlook for the year is to deliver 447 to 457 million in revenue, investing close to 10 million euro into strategic growth investments, and deliver a margin of 25 to 27% of EBITDA. This performance we aim to continue until 2020, meaning our midterm goal 2020 is reaching more than 600 million euro in revenues in the margin range of 25 to 27%, same time driving the future-oriented investment. Let's turn to page 11. In which areas do we invest in 2018 for our successful future? We structure those investments in three different categories. Category number one, internationalization. We want to take the maximal advantage of our market positions in the US and Europe. Strong US brands support US market entry for European brands and vice versa. Category number two is next generation products and solutions. We are running investments in the area of architecture and structural engineering to target large customer segments stronger by combining superior discipline-specific products into a total BIM workflow solution. Another investment in that category is the development of our group-wide CDE, stands for Common Data Environment Platform. We considered here make or buy options and decided clearly for make, meaning developing that platform with our great performing brand Bluebeam. Bluebeam's collaboration platform had become a de facto standard and addresses many of the document and process challenges that BIM level requires. It is only consequent for us to invest by leveraging Bluebeam's mature technology rather than creating something entirely new from scratch or acquiring a completely new technology. In this market, Bluebeam already has a good market position. The market size is significant with a potential of more than 1 billion euro and mid-teens growth rates. And finally, investment category three. As always emphasized, a strong and fast-growing organization like us needs to invest into operative excellence. Here we focus on a harmonization of core applications like EIM and CRM systems. That brings me to my last slide and my conclusions for today's call. By the way, we will organize a capital market day in the second half year to present our strategic plans. By closing again an excellent year 2017 and looking forward to 2020, we can be confident in achieving our goals 2020. Why? We are part of a huge AEC market with a market volume of more than 4 billion euro and double-digit growth CAGRs. In this market, we are the only player being focused solely on AEC. In this large underpenetrated market in terms of digitalization, we notice a fast-growing adaption as, for example, A, switch from 2D to 3D BIM model-centric workflows is strong. Still more than 3 million 2D users needed to be migrated. B, another indicator is the fast-growing BIM regulations adaption worldwide. Not only for public projects, also owners will mandate BIM. Adding now the right growth investments to the right market conditions was and is our core strength. Being the only group worldwide with the completest and most focused knowledge of the overall AEC workflow. This is what makes us confident to continue our performance and reaching the targets of 2020, more than 600 million euro in revenue in the margin corridor of 25 to 27% EBITDA. Thank you very much for your continuing interest and trust into the Nemetschek Group. I'm now happy to answer your questions.
Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin our question and answer session. If you have a question for a speaker, please dial 01 on your telephone keypad now to enter the queue. Once your name has been announced, you can ask a question. If you find your question is answered before it is your turn to speak, you can dial 02 to cancel your question. If you are using speaker equipment today, please lift the handset before making your selection. One moment, please, for the first question. We've received the first question of Chandra Sriraman of MainFirst. Your line is now open. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. Hi, Patrick. First of all, congratulations on a great 2017. Just a couple of questions. Your EBITDA margin guidance is quite wide when compared to your historical ranges, which were quite tight. So I was just wondering what is driving this this wide EBITDA margin range of 200 basis points. Is it got to do with any kind of uncertainty in terms of top line, or is it more to do with the investments you want to have some kind of leeway if you see the opportunity to invest more? That is my first question. And the second one is for the strategic projects, you're talking about 10 million euros of investments this year. Could you give us a sense of what it was for last year?
Yeah, thank you, Chandra, for congratulations and the questions. To answer your first question, it's definitely the second part, what you already assumed. It's all about the investment part, and it's not being afraid about the top line. And we want to make sure, as we already saw this one development in 2017, where we were slightly above the 27%, that we are having those investment-focused things. And if we want to invest more, we want to have that flexibility, and this is why we gave this guidance 25 to 27, and we always delivered within those guidance the last years. And the second part is, I would say they were lower in 2017, the 10 million. We really increased now because we accelerated and we kicked off all the strategic initiatives. To be clear, a detailed figure I can't give you, so it's around about 6 to 7 million euro what we invested also. And we had a shift now from some Q4 investments into the new year. But this year, all in all, the investments will around about 10 million euro. Important to say, with this 10 million euro, we still deliver the 25 to 27% in EBITDA. Are you still there, Chandra?
Sorry, I was on mute. Thanks a lot for that. But maybe a quick follow-up. Your build margins were dramatically better this year, despite continuing to grow quite strongly. So how much more leverage is there in terms of build margins? Should we see more investments coming through over the next couple of years, or you still think margins have some more upside in terms of build for the next few years?
Maybe an interesting and clear short explanation about the margin jump in Q4, which you see also reflected when you look to the margin development in the build segment. Here you see an increased margin from 16 to 17. And as you might consider and remember the times when we reported last year, same time in Q4, some topics in the Bluebeam margin. In Q4 2016, we had some one-off effects in the Bluebeam. That was the sales tax issue we had, and some headhunting costs, some overproportional costs. So you see here, this is why the biggest explanation is Q4 the year before was quite weak in terms of margin, and we had some one-off effects. We catch them up. And as we always state the same topics, I do believe that there is, of course, a scalability in the margin. But as we are focusing on top line and to keep that strong top line growth, at the moment, we wouldn't focus on a scalability in the margin. We deliver the values, but we are coming from via top line. And that's our clear focus while investing in that top line to keep it sustainable for the next years. This is why we also committed to the 2020 goals, because we only can reach them when we're investing. So for the moment, we don't expect a margin increase. Of course, scalability is in the margin, but we are not focusing on them.
Great. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Chandra.
The next question is from Lars Dannenberg of Hauck & Aufhäuser. Your line is now open. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking my question. I may follow up exactly on that topic regarding...
Sorry, Mr. Dannenberg, your line is very, very...
Can you hear me now better?
Yes, perfect.
All right.
Great.
Sorry, go ahead.
All right, if I may just follow on what we just had regarding the margin development in the build segment in 16 compared to 17, could you narrow out of your head the amount of one-times you had in 16 in Q4 with Bluebeam? So what would be the adjusted margin, let's say? And then basically, if you say you stay stable with the margin of 23% in the build segment, you guide for 25 to 27 for the group. Build is growing with more than 30%. So that indicates rather your build segment is not growing anymore for 18, or you have massive margin improvements in the design segment. So what would be the first kind of question? Second one is regarding the investments of 10 million for 18. If you, you had this nice chart on page 11, if you might split this up a bit between the different three topics we have here. And then I would also be interested, last question, interested in the investments until 2020 to reach the 600 million and the 25 to 27% margin level. Thank you.
So definitely what we see for the margin one-off effect, we had round about 2.5 million euro announced in the one-off effects in the Q4 2016. That already gives you an impression that we already also need to say that we, of course, with a Bluebeam scalability, we are on a different level of margin nowadays. So take the one-off effect away. The construction or our build segment is definitely from the scalability in a better shape. We took them over 2014 with around about 16% of EBITDA margin. But besides the strong growth, they also had the scalability in the margin. This is also reflected in this year's performance, which also is a great news, and they round about between 22 to 23 in EBITDA margin.
Okay.
The 2018 guidance, so definitely we need to make sure that you understand which plan rate, which currency rate is behind. So we already see, and this is planned on plan rate 1.18 euro compared to US dollar. So we decided exactly go for that way because the non-currency guidance would have been for us not a way to do it serious financial market communications. It would have been 1.13 euro, but then we would give you a big guidance corridor and would be great to show it up. But then we would also, being sure, having the dollar of 1.24 euro at the moment, that we already announced in the Q1 call a big headwind in terms of currency impact. So please make that one sure. Meaning, saying that is Bluebeam in the build segment is definitely continue to grow very good. We expect them, and from the size, it's still incredible what they drive. From the size, we would assume that they're growing around about 25%, and this is what we always said. And of course, the design segment needs to be in the organic guidance range, 13 to 15%. And that's exactly what we're assuming, and assuming the 2020 target. Of course, you see then when you increase this guidance, we keep that performance, what we always said, 13 to 15% in organic growth, additional M&A parts on top. So this is why the build segment remains definitely the one which is the key growth driver in 18, and Bluebeam is, of course, a big part of it. The 10 million euro of investment, we can't give you, or we won't give you detailed figures to break them down, but definitely we gave you the areas. It's all about internationalization. It's all about next product solutions for the future, and it's all about operative excellence. And this is very proud of, and we do think that we, with those investments, we can sustain our performance, which is a great performance, 13 to 15%, and nobody else delivers it at the moment in the industry. So this is the 10 million euro, and we're not guiding already the investments for 19 and 20. But assuming that there is a world behind 2020, and we want to keep that performance also in 19 and 20, and we will do that in the calls and in the relevant years, but you can assume that we keep that investment power as well. And we have that power, given our financial solid base. We will also invest in such categories, in such sizes in 19 and 20.
Okay, thank you. Just to clarify on page 12, where you have the 2020 goal, 600 million in revenues, and before that it says growth plus growth investments. Is this guidance an organic guidance, or does it include M&A?
I would say I would consider smaller targets as we performed the last two or three targets. Take a Riser acquisition, I would see them included, but of course we would not include here bigger targets like a Bluebeam acquisition. So more or less it's organic with maybe smaller acquisitions included. And again, it's a target. It's a good commitment from us where we do see great commitment from us to deliver exactly that performance. But yes, it's the high portion and the highest part of organic growth, yes.
Okay, thanks for clarification. Thanks, Patrick.
Thank you, Lars.
The next question is from Alexander Prankovics of Berenberg Capital Markets. Please go ahead. Your line is now open.
Hi, Patrick. Thanks for taking my question. I was just wondering, I had a couple questions. Just wondering, what are you doing, what's the strategy behind the U.S. expansion, and how do you plan to take on design incumbents like Autodesk?
What was the second part of your question? I'm sorry.
So the first question was just, I guess, in terms of the U.S. expansion, how do you plan to take on incumbents like Autodesk's Revit? And what are you going after, more of the civil construction or vertical construction? And I guess the second question would be, how much of the build growth was from Bluebeam? And in terms of Bluebeam, how much revenue, how many users, if you can break that down? And then third question would be, well, the strategic partnership, from what I understand, is the combining of existing brands into an integrated package or product. Will this result in any revenue synergies, cost synergies? Will you need to ramp up sales and marketing spend to cross-sell these products? I was just wondering how that would look on the mechanical side.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so first of all, you saw our great CAGR the last years, 45% the last 5 years in the U.S. market. And that's very important for us. And here we have a good infrastructure with already having 6 brands in the U.S. market. And of course, we can leverage on the operation side. So that means we're having the knowledge. We're having a Nemetschek headquarter there as well. A lot of brands are running very well in the U.S. market. So we can leverage on the operational excellence, but we also can leverage from the customer benefits we have. We have customer, we have, of course, the customer entry there with Bluebeam having the biggest part of our user group there. Of course, then, for example, a Solibri brand can really use the channels and really use that access to the customers. Here it needs to be mentioned your second part of the question. This is all about the strategic initiatives, which helps the brands to leverage their growth rates in the U.S. markets as well. This is exactly when we would like to penetrate the large customer segments more. What we do is definitely that we go in a joint development with brands, with lead brands, we call it. One for the architectural side, one for the engineering side, because we are adding features among the brands to one strong lead brand approach, which is definitely asked by the large customer segment. This gives us an opportunity to enter that large customer segment. By the way, that was a very strong Autodesk domain to really go into with our innovation power. This is exactly the USP. Also, one part of your questions, how do we compete against Autodesk? Here always we have three different USPs to be named. The first one is clearly the open BIM approach. We are clearly the open BIM leading company in that world. We are even trademark owner. Second one is the innovation power we have. Given our business status, we convince the customer of our technology and the features. The third one might be not the interesting part for the U.S. market, but also interesting is we give a pricing system flexibility. Yes, we are offering subscription as well, but we don't push and force them. With all those three USPs we have in place, we are very successfully growing in the U.S. market. Again, 45%, which is, in our opinion, quite impressive, in that market where Autodesk is clearly the market leader still, but we're really catching up here. And this is what we have, and we're also benefiting from the Nemetschek Group itself now, being a strong financial holding organization, giving all the brands the home base a strong financial holding organization. They benefit also being part of the Nemetschek Group, because what we recognize now in the U.S. is that now the customer markets, not only the capital markets, they are aware of, wow, Bluebeam is a Nemetschek brand. Graphisoft as well. Vectorworks is a Nemetschek brand. Solibri is a Nemetschek brand. And by adding those features to an integrated BIM workflow solution, we are even doing better and see better growth opportunities in the U.S. for the future. That doesn't mean, and that's very important for us to mention, that doesn't mean that we merge the brands. Our unique point in the Nemetschek Group, our definitely one of the USPs we have, that we continue with our business model, having strong brands in the markets, developing the best products.
Awesome, thank you. And then just one follow-up. Could you give some numbers behind Bluebeam's growth in the quarter and the year?
Bluebeam was all in all, we had around about 25 to 28% of growth the last year, which was amazing. Their proportion in European and Asian growth was getting bigger. We are now in the U.S. sales part 83 to 85%. 15%, and that must be increased in the future, is coming from international affairs. And of course, from the 300,000 users, in new users in 2017, a high portion was coming from Bluebeam. I would say half of this growth, 150,000, was coming from Bluebeam.
Perfect. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
The next question is from Martin Jungfleisch of Kepler Cheuvreux. Your line is now open. Please go ahead.
Yes, hello. Good morning. Three questions, if I may. First one is on your recurring revenues. Could you tell me how much of that was subscription related? And if you see an increased demand from your customers for subscription-based models? That's the first one. And then secondly, on M&A, if you could give an update on potential acquisitions and your maximum firepower. And in relation to that, there was also some reports a while ago that the sale of the media and entertainment segment would be an option. Would that still be considered? And then lastly, maybe on the 3D penetration that you mentioned in the presentation, which is also one of the largest drivers with some 3 million users to migrate. Could you maybe give some color on at what penetration rates we are right now in your key markets? And if there are any markets that you currently see underpenetrated and you would like to enter, that's it. Thank you.
Thank you for the question. And for the first part, it's the recurring revenue part. All in all, with the overall on the overall portfolio, we see around about 3 to 5% coming from real subscription. Assuming that, it needs to be mentioned, and this is nice that you posed that question, that our healthy balance between license growth and recurring revenues is shown, because a company like DRofus, which is fully in subscription, as for example, of course, that was all in recurring revenues. Assuming that one, we are still take them, would you take them out, we would be still around about 20% in growth. And that's a healthy business. And of course, as we always, and we will report that always in our financial results calls, as we always state that the subscription part will increase the next years. But as we do have a model being flexible and the customer is deciding, we can't really guide it. M&A update, still ongoing. As you know, we delivered a lot of good targets in the last couple of years, five targets in the last 3 years. We are an M&A company and we stand behind. We are permanently talking and the pipeline is good filled. Still the 8 to 10 targets we are having. We are having, as we said, in the building management part, we would like to be. Structural engineering was a high focus for us with the Riser acquisition, one example. And then with these complementary market shares, what we mean by that, that was exactly valid for Riser. Riser is the American lead for structural engineers, and we have the same product, and that's SIA for the European market. So we have the both market leaders now in the portfolio, Riser for the US and SIA for the European market. And this is what we're searching for. Purchase price power, given an equity ratio of 50%, given that we financially solid in paying back our loans and having a great cash conversion, we see higher than 300 million euro. The second last one was the media segment. There are always the rumors. We know them mostly in the summer break. As I always state, we are happy to see Maxon good performing. And as I always state, we can't really compare them to the growth rates in AEC. They are doing currency adjusted a good job, 11% in growth, and having a good margin development, and 38.8% is a great result. And we do see that there is all still ongoing good potential in AEC. They are having now 16 to 7% in revenues in AEC. And I think they are really great part of the Nemetschek Group. And at the moment, there are no further plans to think about. The last one is a very interesting one. As we always state, this is still ongoing, 2D to 3D. I would like to give you one example to make it more visible. You know, the UK market is a good example of BIM progress. We are talking in the UK about BIM level 3. So that means in our language, it's dark blue. Dark blue means for us the BIM regulations are highly executed. And in such markets, only around about 50% of the users are using 3D applications. That means we do expect such a rate going up to the 90s, maybe 90 to 95. That means in highly progressed BIM markets like the UK, we still have an ongoing of 45% to transform. And Germany, for example, we do see maybe between 35 and 40%, because the Germans are a little bit back in terms of BIM progress. At the moment, we're discussing to copy the BIM level 3 to Germany as a good example why the Germans are being back a little bit late. And you asked the question, this was your last one, if we are not in markets where we would like to be, no. At the moment, we are in all markets, but some of them are in terms of BIM progress a little bit behind. Take China. China is still in a discussion about the BIM regulations, and we don't expect this year exploding China in a way that they are really fastly growing. But we do expect that in the next 2 or 3 years in China. So that takes time, the BIM regulations part. But this is why we focus also to the US. The US is an ongoing important market for us because BIM is already there. BIM is in a very good shape, and like in the UK, and we focus on Europe. Hope that helps.
Yes, great. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
The next question is from Andreas Wolf of Warburg Research. Your line is now open. Please go ahead.
Hi, hello, good morning. It's Andreas Wolf from Warburg Research. Congratulations on a strong year also from my side. A couple of questions. So the first one would be regarding BIM. Do you see BIM mainly focusing on AEC / your design software, or do you also see certain components in the construction-related software which would allow you to grow in this space as well and maybe strengthen your competencies in this field? That would be my first question. The second is on the emerging markets. China, for instance, do you face other competitors in those markets, or are they the same as in other markets? And then question number three, do we see any IFRS 15 impact in the guidance numbers that you've provided to us? I would assume they are neglectable or not existent, but maybe you could shed some light on this. And the last question is on your cloud / SaaS offering. Are you hosting the software yourself, or are you using any other hyperscalers like Google, AWS, or do you have a secret Microsoft partnership that we should know about? Thank you.
Okay, the first one is and very easy one. BIM is also part of the build segment. BIM is also part of the managed segment. We call it now then the six dimensions. So that means all our 14 AEC brands are contributing to BIM. So that's definitely and the highest part of efficiency, because BIM brings efficiency to the construction process, and it should lead to a result in the end of the day by the one who is paying. So that's definitely, this is why we are growing so fast also in the build segment. And by the way, a CDE investment we are performing in 18, that's exactly BIM 100%, I would say. That's exactly what the industry needs. That's a very important investment to avoid inefficiency in the construction process. So not only the design segment, also the build, but also the managed segment contributing to BIM. Emerging markets like China, we do see the known competitors, like Autodesk is also there. But what does BIM regulation also do? They lift up, in the end of the day, when they are in place, they lift up the market entry barriers for smaller players. And this is what we do not really see at the moment in China, because a lot of local players are there. Where in those markets, and you call them emerging markets, where BIM regulations are not in place, you see a lot of local players. In those markets where the BIM regulations are coming in place, and they definitely will come in place in all over the world, there you see more the bigger players like us. The IFRS 15, I would exactly use the neglectable.
Neglectable, yes.
Difficult German word. Oh, for German, a difficult English word. And they are not huge in our business model. So we checked that all. We are working on the IFRS 16 for next year already, but the 15 is not a problem for us. And the last one, we don't have anything secret. Everything what we have, we announce, but we are also focusing on software. And this is why we choosing partnerships here. We are working in cloud business and hosting them with the best cloud solutions or the providers we can find in that world. Is it Amazon Cloud? Is it Google? Whatever. Is it Microsoft? The customer is also influencing that decision. And this is why we are a software company focusing on AEC and focusing on innovation and products. So we are doing not by ourselves.
Okay, so you are using third-party providers then?
Exactly.
Hyperscalers. Okay, great.
Exactly.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question is from Knut Woller of Baader Bank. Please go ahead. Your line is now open.
Yeah, hi. Thank you. Three questions, actually. The first one, Patrick, with regards to the major brands in the design segment, can you give us an update here how Vectorworks, Graphisoft, and then Allplan performed in 2017? Then looking at your guidance, just to clarify, what is here still the impact from acquisitions you did in 17? So what's the underlying organic growth rate? I'm not sure whether I understood your comments here that I think you made earlier correctly. And then lastly, on the U.S. tax reform, can you give us an insight whether there is a lasting effect for you with regards to your corporate tax rate coming from this? And so basically the question is, what is your expected tax rate going forward? Thank you.
Yes.
Of course, first of all, for the design segment, all the big three brands in the design segment you named, we were happy to see double-digit growth rates in 2017, especially as you know that we are really proud of the Altran organization, because some years ago, 2 or 3 years ago, we had their flat development, and this is where we are really happy to see Altran in the engineering focus really back on track, double-digit growth rates, and Graphisoft and Vectorworks as well. And there are international differences, as, for example, Vectorworks were very strong in Japan, and Graphisoft was the year before very strong in Japan, maybe last year not as good, but in the U.S. strong. So all in all, we are really happy with all the design segment brands. For the organic growth, your second question, as we already saw an impact in the currency, as we assume it on 118, so that means we already calculated at and currency headwind into the guidance. You would see that now when you calculate those guidance corridors roundabout with a growth of 13 to 15, taking the real growth, meaning taking compared to the actual 113, you could assume that it's 1.5 to almost 2% higher, because the difference between the blend rate, €1.18 again to 13, is quite significant, and at the moment we are running a €1.24 yesterday, so we already impacted that one into the guidance. So the real organic growth is a bit stronger than the guidance is showing. For the tax reform, you are absolutely right. We already had a positive impact in 2017, which you see reflected in our EPS development. That means in net income. And we do see an ongoing, because we have strong U.S. business, and the tax rate will be guided for the whole group from 25 to 27, which is significantly under that one from the last years, which is great news as well.
Great. Thank you, Patrick. Just maybe on the currency, I'm aware of that. I was just trying to get a feeling for the impact of acquisitions that you did in 17. So what is the what is still the consolidation effect you're having in terms of percentage points in 2018 from M&A done in 2017? Is it impacting it at all, or
the acquisition effect in 18? You mean, and that's
from the ones done in 17? Yeah,
exactly. That's Riser in the end of the day, and that's roundabout. You should calculate roundabout 5 million from Riser into.
Okay, so it's mainly organically. And then just briefly on the 600 million, I mean, your guidance now is 13 to 15 roughly, as you said, given also the currency impact, so the underlying growth a bit higher. However, when I just do the math, I'm coming to around about 15% plus growth in 19 and 20. The slight growth acceleration of that you're leaving this corridor range and rather have now one figure in mind, is that banked on the growth initiatives that gives you the confidence that you see rather the upper end of your former guidance range?
As I always knew that you do the right math, you are exactly right in your assumptions as well. And this is exactly right. I mean, we have several challenges, and this is why it's a target, and we are committed to drive the target. We also need to see an impact. We always say from subscription. We always say that we are smoothly running the subscription transformation or a higher increase in subscription. We do see that one. But of course, we need to have the challenge that we see a positive impact out of growth initiatives. This is why we're investing. If there is no payback, we wouldn't invest. So you are exactly right. And there are parts coming into the design segment, and the CDE part, for example, comes to the build segment. And this is why we do believe the 15% all in all is a good committed growth from the management. And this is exactly right what you assume.
Excellent. Thank you, Patrick.
Thank you.
There are currently no further questions. As a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad now. There are currently no further questions via the telephone lines. I'll hand back.
Yeah, thank you very much for your ongoing and continuing interest into the Nemetschek Group. Thank you for your support as well. I wish you all personally a happy Easter, and we hear us in a month again. Thank you. All the best, Patrick and the team.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your attendance. This call has been concluded. You may disconnect.